Okay, here we are. It's the first ever episode of Where Is The Shout. I'm joined by Zachary Stevenson.
Hello.
And Rob Runciman.
Hello.
And I'm Mark Harlaw, by the way. I'm saying about myself like people know who I am already.
Yeah. You're very famous, man.
People know me
as Bobby Monroe.
I know. I've just had to learn your second name. I've known you for like 5 years.
Pretty famous around these parts.
Yeah.
Can you do beeps? Like, you bleep out swear words?
I think we can swear on this.
I'm normally known as Cunt London. Have you write Cunt London an envelope?
That's a good stage name.
Yeah.
There is a band called Selfish Cunt, isn't there?
I think we've used that word too much.
Already,
it's a nice hour of 30 seconds.
I can get a, you know, sort of sound effect to beep out those ones. But.
Well, this is hosted by Audio Boom. I spoke to them in the week about it, and they said you can swear as much as you want.
I know, but
so,
we,
I'm not saying that I'm going to encourage
you can swear,
let's try not to say that again. Right, so we're here to talk about football, really, aren't we?
Yeah, really?
I think that's really what we're here to do.
About politics.
Well, politics. Well, David Cameron, we just had a quick chat about him, didn't we? He's a West Ham/Villa fan.
I voted for him just because he's a West Ham fan. That's a joke, everyone. I didn't vote for the Tories.
First thing I want to talk about was Chelsea. What's your feelings on Chelsea's season? Do you think they're worthy?
Well, I think overall they're definitely worthy champions. But I think the other question is whether or not they're good champions in general.
Because
they've been the best team so far this season. City have really disappointed.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't know about the style they play. I mean, the first half of the season, they had playing some nice football and stuff, and they've just come back to like grinding out results kind of thing towards the end of the season. And even the manner in which they won the title, a headed penalty miss, rebound.
I'm a West Ham fan, and Sam Allardyce gets a lot of criticism for the style of football. But actually, Mourinho doesn't play the most attractive football, does he? He's very similar to Allardyce, really.
I think the thing is that Mourinho has just come back to Chelsea.
Yeah.
And I think last year, not winning anything, he's put a lot of pressure in this year. He's had to win the title, so.
I mean,
it's style over substance.
He knows how to win, doesn't he? He does win well. Then everywhere he goes, he wins.
And he's made sure he's done it, you know? And maybe next year you might see a more stylish side, but he's made sure they've won it. They've won it by 10 points. They've absolutely walked it.
They have.
A little blip, but they've lost 2 games.
Well, if anyone's going to get criticised, it's surely got to be City, because they really haven't challenged at all.
There hasn't been a challenge from anyone.
Yeah.
I mean, I hear a lot of City fans kind of mocking Manchester United for the amount of money they've spent. But United now found themselves in that situation where City were 6-7 years ago, where they had to spend a lot of money to catch up.
Yeah.
And, you know, City fans defended themselves on that basis. But the infrastructure they have at the club, the amount of money they have available for players, they should have put a much better challenge this season. Yeah.
They should have done, yeah. I mean, they haven't mattered any challenge. I mean, no one really has. Chelsea looked like they were going to be champions before the season started. They started the season and looked like champions. In the middle of the season, they were winning the league quite comfortably, and they won it.
If you go through the team in the year later, you probably have 6 or 7 Chelsea players.
I just picked the Chelsea team.
That shows you.
Mourinho said that they won enough.
Yeah. Really?
Well, you may be right. From the actual PFA side, you might be right, because you look through their team. I mean, Matic has been the best defence in the field, and he's more than that.
Look
at the back four. John Terry's been magnificent. Cahill's been decent, excellent. Ivanovic was unbelievable for the first half of the season. He's been good all season.
He's a really
Fabregas, the first half of the season, the best creative midfielder in the league.
He buys so well, doesn't he? In the summer, when he picked up Costa and Fabregas, everyone felt that was the ingredients to have a title winning side. And I think it was. I think they were really, and Matic actually.
I wasn't sure Costa was going to work, to be honest, when they first bought him. I thought he
was. Is it because he looks about 45?
Yeah. he looks like that lumbering kind of guy that,
Spanish fielder.
That might still struggle in the Premier League because he hasn't got the pace. But then he has got more pace than I thought he has. And he's so strong
he's like an old fashioned forward.
He's defenders, doesn't he? Yeah. And he gets under their skin and he annoys them.
Centre forwards like that make space for players like Hazard to go and play. He occupies the defence so much.
Absolutely.
He
just distracts people so much. I remember at the start of the season when they played Everton and he absolutely annihilated their defence. Yeah. All five of the Everton defenders were involved in a running battle with him, and it allowed everybody else to kind of just give him a freedom. They ended up scoring 6 that day.
I think what Mourinho does so well at the start of every season, he identifies exactly what they need and he gets it right.
Yeah.
You know, he'll just make three key signings, which is what he did, I think.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Fabregas, and Costa. I think there's someone else.
Well, Cuadrado, but he didn't really.
Yeah, I think he struggled on that right hand side a little bit. But still, Willian's still been good enough, hasn't he?
Yeah.
I think Schürrle was decent before he let him go as well. He's just sort of, he's looking for someone better, isn't he? I think he'll sign that type of player again. I think Cuadrado might even leave again.
There's some agrees with him, aren't they?
Well, if he got him, then, you know, the league's in trouble.
I think, this won't stop here now for Chelsea. I think they're going to push on from this season. I don't think
the next logical step would be a big push for the Champions League, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I think we're going to see years of dominance from Chelsea now. I think, you know, I can see them retaining it next season. If they're shrewd that they usually are under Mourinho in the summer.
Yeah,
I think, you know, the likes of Man United and Arsenal and Man City have really got up their game when it comes to purchasing.
They've got their money, and it's just, you know, it's just about getting a three or four key signs. Who would have thought of Man City company have had such a bad season?
Definitely,
I expect him to, I don't think he's finished. I think he'll come back next year.
Oh, definitely.
They might have a new manager. I'm certain they'll buy two or three big players again. They didn't really invest this summer, did they? No. He's always not interested.
Mm.
Might need to look at that.
One of the biggest reasons, and it kind of pains me to say it, is John Terry. I mean, he's still, you know, I think somebody said recently, if you were picking an England team to win a qualifier next week, John Terry would be your centre back. You know?
Yeah, which is unbelievable. And again, as a man, you know, he's not the most liked person in the country, but he is an outstanding defender. He really is, and he reads the game.
He's a leader of men, isn't he? As well, you know.
Yeah, and he's single. I mean, he's been a key player for Chelsea.
I think they protect him really well. I mean, he has been a single player, but I think he's really well protected by, like I said, Matic. The guys around, like the left back, Azpilicueta, doesn't get forward a lot.
Yeah,
you know, he just sort of sits in there, doesn't he? And
that
really
protects
Terry, who plays like left side centre half.
And
I think it helps him a lot. But he has been superb.
They've been amazing. I mean, they are worthy winners. I mean, they've deserved. I mean, they've always got that champions this season.
I mean, they've been at the top since pretty much the first week, couldn't they?
Yeah, I think they've been top all season. Is that right? I'm sure I read that somewhere.
Yeah, they got to a flyer.
They were joined top with somebody for a few weeks. I think City were technically on the same number of points for a while. But you're right.
Which is a long season. They stayed top all season.
It was like being in a boxing fight, winning the fight in the first 8 rounds, getting off the fly, and then just seeing the rest of it out. I think that's what they've done. I mean, they were playing some great football start of the season.
Yeah,
and
they've taken their foot off the gas a little bit.
They've complained about them recently, but you know, they just have done what they had to do.
Yeah.
It's not nice. Ray went and played at Arsenal, they parked the bus, people complain.
But it gets you the point there.
Arsenal have done that more often in the years combined. Liverpool last year, if they done what Chelsea did and they played Chelsea last year.
Yeah, you've got to use your brain sometimes. You've got to throw the kitchen sink at it, especially against a team that can punish you so badly.
There's certain games where you've got to do that.
I think as well, when you get towards the end of the season and they start to scrape the 1-0 wins, which is traditionally championship winning sides do that, you kind of forget the start of the season when they were blowing everyone away. I mean, I think they beat Arsenal 3-0 at Stamford Bridge.
They beat Smash, they beat someone else 6-0.
They beat Everton 6-3 at Goodison, and you know,
even those flamboyant Manchester United side of the 90s, who were fantastic to watch, but the best side of watching this country, alongside, you know, the Arsenal side a few years later. I remember them knocking out 1-0 wins all the time.
Yeah,
1-0 every week.
Almost four games in a row, 1-0 Cantona scored the winner.
You've got to grind out the result.
So the reason why they've done that second half season is they're playing the same side every week, and players do get tired at this level. I know people complain about professional footballers getting tired, but they do.
Yeah,
you know.
Also, they've got a good squad depth, isn't they? I mean, if you look at teams like Arsenal, I think that's where they fall flat. They have a couple of injuries, but you're going to pick up injuries during the season, but that cripples their team. And I think Chelsea have always got seems to have a decent backup.
I think one of the big problems at Arsenal is that, you know, make a couple of big marquee signings like Sanchez and Ozil for big money, but they don't have the same financial clout as Chelsea do for the whole squad, you know.
That's true, yeah.
I mean, they've got a lot of options going forward.
They do, I mean.
That's where they struggle at the back, right?
At the start of the season, Arsenal had six first team defenders available, right?
Right.
I think you're asking for it. You know, you've got a back four. as soon as one player gets injured,
yeah,
in trouble. What happened to them? I think two got injured straight away.
Yeah,
had to throw the young lad Chambers.
They're recording a guy unknown from Charlton Athletic.
He came into midfield. But Chambers had to play from the start of the season. They only played 20 games for Southampton anyway.
Yeah.
60 million. I mean,
it's a big ask, isn't it?
But I mean, when you're changing for a title,
you need experience. Is pretty key, isn't it? You can't just have nothing.
They ended up with this injury crisis at the start of the season. That's where they lost the title, definitely. They just didn't have enough players at the back. And then they haven't played defence in midfield back for 10 years. And suddenly, like Zach has said, we call that Cock around from Charlton. Plays defence in midfield. And there's no world beater. He's given them balance. All of a sudden, they've gone this fantastic run. You sort of think if they'd got this right at the start of the season, they might have been right in there.
I don't think they would have challenged Chelsea. Completely, but I think
so. I suppose we should also talk about relegation, the other end of the table. It's actually quite exciting. I'm quite enjoying this relegation battle. One, because West Ham aren't in it for a change,
And also because the title race has been sewn up so early that the relegation battle, everyone kind of
And obviously, watching Nigel Pearson having a breakdown, and he's clearly having a breakdown over the course of the season because he's now a nutcase.
If you give me a manager who's going to prevent the breakdown and win six out of seven games towards the end of the season, I'll take it, you know.
Well, that's right.
They've been incredible, haven't they?
He even admitted yesterday, they won again yesterday, didn't they? 2-0 were beat to Southampton.
Yeah.
And he said he can't even put his finger on it. He's the manager. He doesn't understand why they're winning now.
That's unbelievable. And like you said, it looked like he completely lost the plot a few weeks ago.
Yeah, well, he got sacked.
And again,
two weeks ago,
the way he spoke to that guy in the press, he's just bullying him, really.
Horrible. But he looks like a policeman, doesn't he, old Pearson? He's like a policeman who's come to your school.
He looks more like old Bill, the Swansea manager, Gary Monk.
He's
old Bill.
They look like the ones that come to your school when you're a kid and go, don't take drugs, even though you're a 10.
No, Leicester have been unbelievable. Do you know they've scored about, I think, a couple of goals less than West Ham this season as well? Everyone's praising West Ham for their attacking football.
Of course.
And Leicester weren't scoring. This shows you how Leicester have been going recently.
They've got five of them against Manchester United.
But
there's always someone. That's the great thing about the Premier League. There's always someone that seems, in the last 10 years, it produces an unbelievable run.
Yeah.
And they look finished. I mean, West Ham 9 years ago. Yeah. West Brom did it under Brian Robson a year after. Fulham did it.
Yeah.
There's always someone, you know? I mean,
I really thought Leicester would nail Newcastle a few months ago. Wouldn't it be excellent to see Newcastle go? I'd be quite a turn. I'm ambivalent about it because I feel sympathy. I've got some friends who are Newcastle fans and they're quite passionate. Mm. But then again, I'm not referring to my friends here, but they do seem a bit stupid. Newcastle fans.
You can't say that about your friends.
I'm not talking about them.
It sounds like you're.
But they seem to just, as soon as they lose a couple of games, they want
north, isn't it?
As soon as they lose a few games, they're all shouting for the manager's head straight away. It's like there's no other club like it. They just don't. Mm. They don't want any manager.
Well,
Carver quoted himself as the best coach in the Premier League.
He probably is a good coach.
There's a big difference between
a coach and a manager. You know, we don't know what goes on in the dressing room, but the thing is, if you can't. People talk about motivation. I mean, professional footballers shouldn't need motivating, but you do need someone in that dressing room that's going to have everyone pulling in the same direction.
If you don't
get that message across, then the players go out and they're trying, but they're all trying to do different things. It looks like no one cares, but they probably just don't know really what they're supposed to be doing.
No, they do look lost at the moment.
I mean, I might be wrong there, because like I said, I'm not in the dressing room, but it looks like that.
I mean, they only have 1 point from 9 games. I mean, that is really poor form, isn't it? I mean, it suggests
you don't belong in that division, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
1 point from 9 games. I mean, that's if you were to break it down over a season, you'd get that for about 4 points a season, isn't it?
He's a fan. He's obviously a very good coach, but he's a fan trying to say all the right things.
Trying
to say things for the Newcastle fans.
I think when he accused Williamson of intentionally getting a second yellow card, I mean, that it goes beyond the whole thing of motivating a player, and it casts aspersions on the player's character in general, and that is very unpopular, and that's a massive fault. If you want to call yourself a coach or a manager, it's just disastrous, and the best coach in the league would not say that.
Well, you don't say it publicly. You put him aside.
What are you doing?
The thing is, imagine after saying that to the press, imagine going into that dressing room, in the next actual training session.
Yeah.
The players are going to lose respect for you. They're going to think, absolutely, well, if I don't play well next week, is he going to slag me off to the press as well?
So yeah, who's down there now then as well? We've got Newcastle.
QPR are bottom now, and if they don't win today, they're gone. But they're gone anyway. They're definitely gone.
I think they're gone. Burnley are now confirmed as relegated.
Burnley are relegated.
And then obviously we've got the one on the spot.
Hull after losing that game. Yeah. At home to Burnley in massive trouble. It's Hull.
Hull's last two games, they've got Spurs and Man United.
Well, yeah,
I mean, that's a really, and I think they could go.
The thing is, I think Hull's saving grace is Spurs have given up, and I think they might lose against Hull in the next game.
Who we reckon then? Are we in agreement? Like, I've got a feeling it'll be Hull.
I think
at their two games,
with the two games they've got, and the fact that they are not performing, and
the question is, like, I think, see, if Hull win the next match against the Spurs side that don't care anymore. Then and Newcastle don't win their match or lose, then Newcastle are right back in it for going to the last game. So
it would be exciting.
Newcastle got West Ham. It's certainly West Ham Hull and Newcastle.
What are we doing for the final day? Should we all get together and watch it somewhere? We've got to watch some relegation battle. I do love the old final.
We'll do
day.
A live broadcast.
from a local pub. Put it on here, bro.
West Ham will roll down for Newcastle last game.
They all hammer us.
I'm going to put my neck on the line. I'm going to tip Newcastle for relegation.
Really? Yeah.
I think they'll get their points against West Ham.
They will, because we are rolling. We love rolling over these things. They'll beat us about 3-0.
Anyone that needs the points, we've rolled over for them. Yeah. Apart from QPR, I don't know.
Yeah, but I just don't think Newcastle good enough to beat even a West Ham team rolling over. I mean, they couldn't beat West Brom at home.
Yeah, you know, they're 1-0 down as well,
Manchester United last week. I don't know.
Mm.
Right. I don't want Steve Bruce to go down either. I think that.
I do like Steve Bruce, but I like Modi Arma. It'd be quite funny to see him go. Yeah. When he left West Ham, obviously.
And anyone that signs Michael Dawson as centre half is asking for it. I think Villa are safe now that win against West Ham.
I think they've done a good job.
We were just talking about that. I was talking about Mike, my housemate, who's going to be a guest in the show later on. Tim Sherwood, that when he first joined Villa, I thought, oh no, Tim Sherwood, he's a bit of a clown.
Yeah, I thought so.
But look at it now, he's taken on the relegation battle and possibly a FA Cup.
I'm not a fan of Sherwood, just the way he goes.
I don't think any of us are really big fans.
In the media.
A bit of a chance,
I think. I think what he's done is exactly what they needed, because Lambert was playing such negative football. I mean, they've got a great centre forward. I know Benteke has been injured most of the season. It's top class, and what Villa have just done now, they've gone for it. They've got the ball in early team. I was watching play West Ham yesterday, and they are just, you know, they're playing some really good football. Once they got the chance just to hit a diagonal at him, they did it, and it caused a player like that, and that drop the mould, causes massive problems. Yeah. They weren't doing it this season, most of the season.
No,
it's all slow build up, it's all just keeping it tight, and, you know, they'll go nowhere. They've just had a manager that's come in and has gone, right, you know, we're going to go for it, we're going to play three up top, we're going to get the ball in early.
And he's hyped the fans up as well, and he's got the fans on side.
You're struggling, you've got to do the opposite, really.
Didn't they go like 9 hours of early goals?
Yeah, they really were. Yeah, and he's been, they've got Benteke and Tim, he's their key player.
Well, he's got, I think, 10 in the last.
Yeah,
he's a monster, isn't he?
But I still think they'll struggle next season, Villa. I still don't believe that they've got what it takes to be a massive success.
Tony Adams is looking to launch a takeover.
Who?
Tony Adams
was taking
a
Villa.
Has he got money to do that? I don't think it's his money.
No. He's looking to for some other investors to come along. He'd be a director of football or something.
But, he's a strange one.
I actually
one
have
as well.
To say, and this
football,
is
going <isn't he? Adam's
laughs> this is going to sound a bit strange because, as you know, a big United fan, I'm from Cork, so Roy King's my hero. But I think Aston Villa's problems might some part be caused by Roy King's influence at the start of the season, because I think Roy King's a divisive influence in club management. Mm. I think he alienates players. He's
a bit of a bully, isn't he?
Yeah, he bullies players, and he gets on the wrong side of them.
But you imagine being a player and Roy Keane walking in and being in charge. Yeah,
he's not the captain of Manchester United. That's exactly what you need. You need someone who's going to be afraid of the captain and not going to want to not play well. But when he's an assistant manager. And he's kind of almost like usurping the Lambert, because I don't think Lambert would tell Roy King to keep it down a bit. Like, so I think
he looks at you with that beard.
Well, maybe Lambert, what you need is someone that's the opposite of him to just sort of.
Yeah,
I mean, Lambert was fairly combative as a player. He was more of a playmaker, but he wasn't afraid to get stuck in there.
Yeah,
but Roy King, he's a bit too heavy-handed with some of the players. Sometimes they need an arm on the shoulder.
Yeah,
that's right. It's identifying what each player needs. You know, they're not all the same. Exactly. There's some players that need to be told your top player.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you a run of games on the back if you're a good player.
Do you think he'll ever manage?
I think the role he has now as assistant manager of Ireland is good because, you know, a player can't join another country, but Jack Grealish could. But, you know, they have to play for Ireland once they play for Ireland. So it's not like they can, oh, I don't like Roy Keane, I'm going to go and join Scotland. You know, but I think maybe next time we can talk with Jack Grealish then, because
I like talking about him.
Hope we nail him and get him involved.
Excellent yesterday.
We'll have a chat about him next week. Then.
So relegation, I'm saying Newcastle.
You're going Newcastle. Yeah. I've got a feeling it'll be Hull, to be honest, just because of their run of games.
We're all agreed that QPR.
Obviously Burnley went yesterday.
The miracle can happen.
Yeah. And Hull, but I mean,
so what you do in a relegation battle is get Chris Ramsey in, Charles. He'll get you out of it.
Well. To be fair to him, I mean, Harry Redknapp resigned on the final day of the deadline, deadline.
What a nice thing to do, eh?
So
I'll be near.
Can't get any players in, and he's left apparently a dressing room that was a bit fractured.
Yeah,
and
I've always thought Harry Redknapp was a bottler, really, to be honest.
Redknapp always walks out when a game gets tough. He's done it everywhere. He's gone.
Southampton, he did it, quickly jumped back to Portsmouth.
West Ham is pushed, but by that time he spent money that it completely wasted a load of money.
Well, he put on a 5-year contract.
He often orchestrates his departure that the club kind of give him the nudge, but he really wants to go. I mean, Spurs got rid of him. It was very strange when the Spurs at the time. I mean,
I think that's a dumb thing. His personal bank account business. I think they didn't want to be associated.
You know.
Talking a bit about Man United, because you're a Man United fan, and your former, you know, obviously superstar Ronaldo.
Yeah,
he's doing obviously amazingly well out of Madrid. But I was out in Madrid recently.
Yeah,
for my birthday. Amazing, and that Bernabeu stadium is quite incredible. But they really don't like Ronaldo at all.
Yeah.
They boo him. Really hate him. He's hated.
Like, is that bad?
You hear it? All booing him. Continually booing him. It's like, unbelievable.
He's only scored 400 goals. Maybe he needs to score 1,000 goals.
Yeah, he has to score that goal.
If he scores 2 goals every game instead of 1 goal every game, he's actually got more than a goal a game for Real Madrid. Nonsense, isn't it? I mean, why would you hate a player like that?
But if you're playing Football Manager, the computer game, like a few years ago, one of your players was scoring more than a goal a game, you think, I'll stop playing this, it's unrealistic.
I mean, I think what lets him down is his kind of selfish attitude. He seems to care more about him than...
You mean on the pitch?
Yeah. I mean, in general, because they won recently, I think they won 3-1, and he missed a chance before they scored the third. And the ball hit the net and it came back to him and he blasted it in the net in frustration while the team were off celebrating. And he walked back and then was throwing his arms in the air. And then the final whistle went and he just put his head down and walked down the tunnel. Really bizarre attitude. And you kind of think,
console him, isn't it?
That's right. Yeah, you know, console him because he didn't score in a game. You know, and he scored like 50 this season.
I think the thing is though, I mean, I've seen a few things like that, but at the end of the day, it's not like he's walking around the pitch not trying. So
that's true.
He runs around all over the place. He works for the team.
Yeah, that's true.
If you've got a footballer who is motivated by personal glory, but they're scoring a goal every game for your team, and most of the victories that they've had this season, he has scored at least 1 goal.
Yeah.
I think he's justified that arrogance in a way. Not that I would ever encourage people to be overly arrogant.
Mm. Yeah.
But when you're that good, I mean, you need a bit more sort of praise and, I don't know. The guy just gave £5 million to the Nepal earthquake appeal today.
Oh, yeah, that's
so he's not, he's a nice guy as well. I mean, even just people think he's an asshole. But
he's just someone that is motivated every day to be the best player in the world or the best player ever.
Yeah.
He's pushed himself. He just wants to score, break every record, doesn't he? On a personal level. And also, he wants the team to win.
And his goal record is unbelievable, isn't it? He scored more goals than he's played.
It was astonishing. Do you remember the old days when if a striker had a goal every 2 games, like, wow, that's brilliant. Wow, you know?
Yeah.
And then it became, he's getting close to a goal again. Now he's actually getting better and better. His record is getting... He's increasing his goals to game ratio beyond a goal a game.
Do you know what scares me? Is when Ronaldo and Messi retire, what's going to be left? Because we're all going to be quite, because this is
football
really strange.
Normal.
Yeah, he'll go back to normal, but he will, because, you know, we're so used to seeing these two scoring, breaking these records, and we're kind of taking it a bit for granted, I think, how good these two actually are.
Yeah.
And how, you know, that.
I'd love to see Messi play in the Premier League as well. Oh. He's a lot more lightweight than yeah. Look, don't get me wrong, he'd be absolutely amazing.
Yeah,
I'd like to see him play over here. Yeah. Ronaldo, I mean, people say Spanish league's got weaker, you know, down the bottom end, it is.
Mm.
But Ronaldo in the Premier League, his last two seasons, he's been 30, didn't he?
He was amazing, man. Right.
So, I mean, that's nearly what a goal a game straight away. When
there's a chance of him coming back, Premier League.
There is a chance.
Well, if you're saying he's still hated at Bernabeu, then, I mean, he's loved at Old Trafford. I mean, they'd take him back in a heartbeat, I think. You know?
Yeah, I think they would. I think
it looks like United are going all guns out to get another unpopular Real Madrid player, Gareth Bale, you know.
Yeah, I mean,
they don't like him either, do they? They don't like the winners.
No, they don't like the one that won the Champions League.
His first season there, scored, you know, all those goals and scored, you know, a goal in the European Cup final.
Yeah, he scored some important goals. He won in the Copa del Rey and, yeah.
And fantastic goal against Barcelona in the Copa del Rey.
Is that when he went round off the pitch?
It was almost off the pitch. That's against Barcelona, the final. So, yeah, I mean, if he did that over here for any team, he'd be instantly
a statue. If he was at West Ham, he'd have a statue of him now. Yeah. We'd be making a statue of him.
We'd dream about it. But if he's done that, you know, Manchester United,
yeah,
straight away it'd be hero forever.
Definitely.
I don't know how true it is that the Real Madrid fans do sing.
They do, they boo him. They boo him. Like, it's really bizarre. They obviously cheer the goal. It's really weird the way they do it, because he scores.
But when you say they boo him, what percentage is it?
Probably about, 80%, I'd say 30-40% probably boo him. It's quite a lot loud. It's pretty loud, the booing. It's like, it's not just a few weird people.
I saw him play the other night when I saw the Champions League semi final.
Mm.
They played Juventus. Real Madrid.
Yeah, you're right, they did. They lost 2-1.
And he was just getting the ball, Gaff, but you know the way he usually just runs it, pushes it past them.
Mm.
He was, every time he got, well, I think he only got the ball a couple of times, he just went past backwards,
his confidence
has gone to pieces.
Yeah.
Roy Keane was, to mention again, was slagging him off. But I think, I don't know, I think Bale will go back to the Premier League sooner rather than later. Maybe not this season, but I don't think he's going to see out his career with Real Madrid.
No, I don't.
Whereas we talked about Messi, and you said how nice it'd be to see him play in the Premier League.
Mm.
I think Messi will finish his career at Barcelona.
I agree.
I can't see him ever leaving that club.
No, I don't think you can. I don't think anyone can afford him. I don't know. I think it costs so much money, wages.
I actually think that you could, because I think that the commercial stuff that surrounds Messi would you know, fund itself. You know,
trip there.
FIFA's financial fair play rule, exactly what Zach said.
He's still quite young, Messi, isn't he? He's only 27. Yeah. 27, so he's at the peak of his career, really, should be. I mean, it's unbelievable. Yeah.
But I think
for me, he's the best.
I think he'll finish there as well. And I think they're playing football at the moment, Barcelona, that is even better than what they're playing. Just as effective,
In
a different kind of way. They get the ball forward.
That strike force is terrifying, isn't it? Messi.
But it's kind of, you know, I mean, it's the philosophy of football which I think is underrated. And you put together a list of, you put together your all time best team. And I did it before, and I put the 11 greatest players I could think of. And, and I had guys saying, oh, that team won't win anything without defensive midfielders. Like when players are that good,
it's not as
important as having, you know, a Makaleli type character. Of course, it'd be useful, and I think every team has to get a balance.
Yeah,
but when you're scoring 130-140 goals a season, mm-hmm. you have players with such talent.
Yeah,
then you can afford to take some gambles elsewhere on the side.
Yeah, try getting the ball that long.
Yeah.
And it's something that Barcelona don't neglect anyway, because they have had, you know, good defensive kind of players. You know, I mean, Xavi holds onto the ball better than most players when he's at his peak. And
And also, I think Mascherano has been incredible for them.
Yeah.
And also, obviously, we know he's not as good as Hayden Mullins. He couldn't get in our team, could he?
Yeah. Hayden Mullins, really. Start me on that one.
Oh, unbelievable.
We'll save that for another day.
Yeah.
Okay, so every time we have a program, we're going to try and get a special guest in to talk. So today we've got my housemate, Mike.
Hello, everybody. He's found him wandering around the house.
Yeah. Mike is from the Liverpool area, and he supports the team that plays at Anfield. And so, Mike, what's your take on Liverpool's season this year? Because last season, of course, they mounted a challenge for the title, which fell short at the end. the season hasn't quite gone to, according to plan, has it?
No, I don't. I think the expectations from last season definitely went through the roof for this one. But I don't think it's been as bad as potentially the media portrayal has shown it to be. I think you've got to remember last season we had a monster in Suarez who just dragged to the level of everyone at the club to a standard. I think people are going to realise that more and more as time goes on. Just got to look at the way he's playing at Barcelona right now.
He's finally had a difficult start there, but he's really clicked into gear now. The three of them are doing amazing, aren't they?
Well, he's assumed the position of being the guy in the middle, which, if you think Messi was playing that false nine, they tried putting Suarez out wide, and now he's going to be in the middle. Yeah. Anyway, he doesn't play for Liverpool anymore, so it's got him.
Yeah, exactly.
I know, Lewis, I don't mean it, I love you.
How do you feel about the guys that Rodgers has brought in, like Markovic, Lallana, likes them? Balotelli obviously hasn't been...
Well, if we start from the front, we had Sturridge and Suarez last season, who were a human wrecking ball and probably England's most talented striker when he's not fit. This season, we've had Balotelli, Ricky Lambert,
and
in fairness, Raheem Sterling filling in every position needed because of his talent. I think it's a massive, massive change to be anywhere near top four. From an optimistic point of view, I think it's actually not done bad if we get a proper striker next year.
They had a fantastic run at one point, horrible start. They went on a brilliant run, they start playing brilliant football again. Yeah. Markovic started looking good. Lallana, then he got injured. And they started, Sterling started playing superb. And you can see that they can be a top side. Suddenly, he just went on that awful run.
It's a very confident driven team he's got. I think it's either we're either playing really well or we're playing really quite dour at times. Well, no, I take that back, not dour. They're lacking in that confidence. So we go on these runs and it's happening every season. It tends to be the second half of the season since we've just come along. But I do think the lack of striking options, the leader up front, has really hamstrung us this season. I think if we're talking about the players you've talked about there, that we've signed. Markovic, far too early to say, but he's a bit of a straight-line merchant, very quick.
Very young though, isn't he?
Yeah. He's only 20. He's a Serbian lad. He's just come over here, haven't played in Portugal. So you've got to give these guys time. I think Lallana is again showing to be a little bit fragile, but he's got good, excellent technique, constantly doing Cruyff turns everywhere he goes. Probably goes and gets a pint of milk doing Cruyff turns. And then you've got probably for me the most exciting player we've got from the new ones is MHM.
He's been brilliant, hasn't he?
He's like a Rolls Royce.
But out of position as well. He's a centre midfielder. He's been brilliant at the back. He's going to be. He's going to be a central midfield player for Liverpool. He's going to be a top one, I reckon.
I think definitely. And he's, again, a bit like Sterling, because of his talent, it's kind of his curse at the same time, because Rodgers is slotting players into whatever role he needs to be filled rather than the role that's best for them. So, he did great playing right of a centre three. But now he's playing at right back, which is like playing a false two.
Well, that's strange. It's what I like about Rodgers. When there were problems, he can just change to a back three. But loads of, tactically can change a lot in the side. I think that's a good thing, but, he's got to settle on something at some point. And if there's so many problems at the back, then that's why he did it.
It's interesting. I mean, if you look at kind of Liverpool as a whole, as a club where we are now, because of financial fair play and everything, but also because of, the history and the fan base, we are what I'd probably see as a second tier behind the likes of the teams above us. In fact, I'd say we are behind Arsenal right now, but I think we can aim to be in a position where Arsenal are.
Yeah.
And I think given that fact, we're not in a position to be competing on big, big purchases for players. If a player comes to join us and he's a big player, for example, say someone like Benzema, I'd be thinking that means he's been everywhere else has said no and he's coming to us. Rather is have a player that's going to develop. I think under Rodgers, he is a very good coach that way. If you look at especially the young English players,
Jordan Henderson.
He's amazing.
Joe Edwards designing it entirely into the season, going to LA Galaxy, same difference. Henderson now will have to kind of step up, won't he? And new club captain.
Yeah, it's not been confirmed that he definitely will be, and I don't know whether that's a deliberate ploy from Rodgers to kind of make him earn his mm-hmm. position there. But I think from what he's this season, he's really proven to be a very, actually technically a very good footballer. And when he first joined, he couldn't make a straight pass. And I thought, mm-hmm. you know, Gary, this is bad news.
Yeah, a lot of money for a young player, wasn't it?
It was a big point. I think it was actually 20 million for him.
Well, I remember when he first went in England, so I was saying, no, this is an absolute joke. And now he's one of our first picks.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like if we all play a bit of five-a-side football, and then whenever you turn up and actually have a go at full-size 11-a-side football, you realise the physicality involved. And that guy is, I mean, from what I believe, is teetotal. Extremely fit and in that regard, and he'll just run all day. Mm. And he's actually got now a very good delivery in terms of free kicks and corners and the like, which is what, you know, typically always associates with Gerrard.
And I think as well the other aspect of Gerrard's game, which is good, is the leadership qualities that Henderson has. He's very vocal on the pitch.
And I needed that as well. I think with Gerrard going, you know, it was very important to have someone that could slot in and take over, because he's such an incredible, what a shoes to fill. I mean,
yeah.
I think really? You think
well, you can't. I mean, you can't. The guy's been around in legend for one of their greatest players.
Yeah.
You can't just suddenly say, you've got it set that no one's going to fill it, but someone's going to have a.
Yeah.
You're giving the job slowly grow into it. You know, you can't suddenly be Stephen Gerrard.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. When you've got players who are at that level, they, in terms of going down in history, that's their character done. Then it's all about new characters emerging now. You know, you're not looking at, you know, for example, Manchester United, not going, who's the next Ryan Giggs?
Yeah.
Who's the next Joe? But you don't. It's who's going to be the next whatever the name is. I think from Henderson's point of view, what I do like with him, he's a lot more vocal. I think Gerrard is quite introverted at times in terms of his captaincy. It was more leading by example.
Exactly.
You know, a few gesticulations, but you look at Henderson, he's like a yard dog. Mm. And when he's tracking someone down, he's barking all over them. And then, you know, he handles a referee. I've noticed that now he's kind of getting in their faces, but in there, just on that line.
There's a funny one with Diego Costa a few weeks ago.
When he was just staring at him.
Yeah.
Costa came over to him, giving his gym, he was just staring. And I mean, Costa just didn't know what to do. Didn't he? He just sort of just walked off.
I did the rounds on the internet, and his stock went through the roof. The Liverpool fans there. I don't know if he's
putting it on or not, but I mean, you really need to get involved, especially against a side like Chelsea, you need a match.
You don't go too far,
but you've got to let them
take it to you. I could see him in a future Liverpool legend. I think he's got all the attributes, you know, to do that.
Maybe an England captain one day, but the thing is, people talking about a lot of pressure on the guy. How old is he? 23, 24?
Yeah, he's still
very young.
But I think the big players, the ones who've gone through the big players, they handle the pressure, don't they?
Yeah, they've got to embrace it.
And also, it's not like they're just thrown out there. I think they've obviously got the mentors behind the scenes. Yeah.
When you talk about young players, you kind of forget that. Okay, they might be new to the first team, but they've been probably at the top for 5 years. Not in the case of Henderson, didn't come through the youth ranks.
Yeah.
They've been in a professional football environment for a long time, so they've kind of gotten used to what it's like.
Yeah.
And we just think, into the cauldron straight away, but these guys are, they're seeing what's happening for a few years before they actually get into the first team. So.
Yeah.
There's one player definitely from Liverpool I'd like to just highlight as well, is the goalkeeper, Sammy Mignolet. So, I mean, you know, the first season when he started off with penalty save against Stoke in the first game of the season, it was probably held on. And it's amazing how momentum can dictate, you know, at the beginning of the season, how it pans out. And then the beginning of this year, he was having a shocker, and there was a disarray. And it's around the time when we decided to go to three at the back instead of two.
Yeah.
And since he was dropped for all of one or two games when we had the fabulous Brad Jones taking over, since he's come back, he has been immense.
Yeah.
And whether it's a big fuck you to Brendan, sorry.
No, you can't say that to it,
whether it's, you know, he's on his way out regardless. If not, it's been a complete turnaround in his form. And I think it's one of the things when you watch every game your team plays, you only notice these things, but he's been an absolute...
Well, sometimes players need that. They need sometimes dropping, don't they? Yeah, just exactly. To sort of reassess it.
Goalkeepers, the same thing happened with Joe Hart last season.
Yeah.
Was it this last
That's
season?
That's correct, yeah. And everyone went...
And sometimes when you make a few big errors with a goalkeeper, it's highlighted.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah.
And the pressure builds, especially...
And sometimes it gives them a bit of a break.
Maybe
they need
to come out for
break,
two but, games and then come back if you know they're top class game.
Yeah.
Like Joe Hart is. Mealy, I wasn't sure about, but you're right. He's been brilliant ever since.
Yeah.
But it's... there's still question marks
over him. I still have question marks over him, yeah, to be honest.
Of course, but, of course. He's not the finished article, but he's coming for balls now.
Yeah, that was the big thing I thought. He was very hesitant to come for balls at that time. You know?
Yeah. And also, Brendan Rodgers, he wants his goalkeepers and his defenders, or did when he first went there, just playing to feet up from the back and struggle with that.
Yeah,
you're signing a goalkeeper. You're playing that way, he's got to really want the ball to his feet all the time.
Definitely.
There's not that many around, it's difficult.
We talked it minimally, but it's not that long ago, the Arsenal match, when he was definitely fought for a couple of the goals. And, I think there are still a question marks over him. But you know, I think he's a good enough keeper to get through it.
I'd happily keep him for next season. I mean, certainly. At Christmas, I was thinking get rid of him now if we could. He's got something about him.
I think being a goalkeeper, as Rob alluded to, it's the only position on the pitch where you're any mistake will almost certainly result in goal. Yeah. Whereas if you're a defender and you slip, there's always somebody else maybe that can get in there and stop it happening. But ultimately, if the goalkeeper makes a howler, it's all over the back page, isn't it?
I think it's highlighted so much with David De Gea for United this season. You know, you can't really think of a striker that's shot them to, you know, fourth in the league. I'm thinking of him who saved them to fourth in the league. But that's not to say it's not to say that United have been under pressure continuously. It's
He has made big saves and big games in
football. Yeah, but that's it.
I mean, the Palace yesterday. So anyway, Mike, what would you think is needed for Liverpool to mount a challenge next season? Just a striker, or?
Yeah, actually, there's a long text message conversation to do with Liverpool fan of North, and you were saying about different areas need to strengthen, and for me, after bringing in the glut of signings we have, they need that season to settle in. Maybe one or two will go. I would put all the eggs in the striking basket. Mm. I don't think there's any point in bringing in a new defender or a new midfielder. I think we've got all the players there we need. It may turn out we need to make a new signing, but let's not just throw someone in for the sake of it. I'd say two good quality strikers.
Exactly. You don't want too many.
Do you think you'll give Balotelli another crack next season, or do you think you should get rid of him?
I'd say he needs to go because he is the quintessential square peg in the round hole.
Last season we called about Marouane Fellaini. Mm. This season he's come good, so maybe next season Balotelli's here.
Yeah, but to be fair with Fellaini, what he's doing now is showing the ability he was showing near the end for Everton.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
Balotelli's he's not been kept on anywhere, is he? And there's always usually a reason why clubs get rid of him.
Balotelli's career is always, when he's been successful, always played as part of the front two.
Yeah.
And you have to play him like that. If you want to play him through the middle by himself, there's no work.
He doesn't put the work right in, does he?
No. He's the wild card. He'll stand and wait in space and wait for the ball to come to his feet so he can then manoeuvre a shot.
Yeah.
And more often than not, nowadays, people are just getting the shots blocked. He's not the kind to take a gamble to hit a ball on the run. He shoots standing still.
Well, I was going to agree with you with is that you don't want too many changes at Liverpool. I think sometimes teams overreact or clubs. They start making six, seven changes, and that thing you back to square one.
Yeah,
you've got a bad signing. You know they can play, like even Lovren, right? I mean, I know he's had a shocker. That guy was superb last year.
Yeah,
he really was. I mean, let's see how he goes next year. You just don't know. He might suddenly, get in the side and have a couple of good games, and it's all confidence. I think you're right. They need two or three top players, and that's it.
Yeah.
Just stick with what they got. Maybe move out a couple like Balotelli. Yeah. Maybe Lovren does have to go, do you know what I mean? But what I'm saying is you don't want six suddenly going and six coming in.
Yeah.
To
overhaul them.
They're definitely not. No.
Again, it's harking back to what I said before. It's you're getting a player who's on the wane, or you're getting a player who won their way up, who will potentially look for that move to a Barca, ideally not to an English rival. So you've got to think of someone who might be Latin American. I'd say, from what I've seen, Benteke, there's often rumours of him. Walcott's a funny one.
They got that Jordan Ives. They got give him a go. I think he said signs on that Walcott, although he's available on the free.
Haven't they given Jordan Ives a new contract?
He's one definitely.
They must have faith in
him.
Is it Ives or Ebay?
Ives.
And it's Jordan, not Jordan.
Jordan
Ives. Don't call me Jordan.
Yeah, so, that's the end of the show, and I hope you enjoyed it, and we'll be back same time next week. Listen, take care. Bye.
Nice one.
on your